Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I'd like to look at a text today that I believe is just as pertinent for the church today as it was for Israel and their leaders in Joshua's day. The text is out of Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. We're going to talk today about be strong and courageous. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for those who have come out this morning to worship you, to praise you. And Father, I just ask that you take this word to our heart, this message that the church needs as much today as Israel needed then. I just ask your blessing on this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. He says, be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Before Moses died, God told him that Joshua would succeed him as the new leader who would lead the people of Israel into the promised land. The Lord said to Moses, behold, the days approach when you must die. Call Joshua and present yourselves in the tent of meeting, that I may commission him. And Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in the tent of meeting, and the Lord appeared in the tent in a pillar of cloud. And the pillar of cloud stood over the entrance of the tent. And the Lord said to Moses, behold, you are about to lie down with your fathers. Then this people will rise and whore after the foreign gods among them in the land that they are entering. And they will forsake me and break my covenant that I have made with them. Then my anger will be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them and hide my face from them. And they will be devoured, and many evils and troubles will come upon them, so that they will say in that day, have not these evils come upon us because our God is not among us? And I will surely hide my face in that day because of all the evil that they have done, because they have turned to other gods. And the Lord commissioned Joshua the son of Nun and said, be strong and courageous, for you shall bring the people of Israel into the land that I swore to give them. I will be with you. Four times God tells Joshua to be strong and courageous. Do you think he's trying to get a point across to him? He's saying you're going to have to be strong and you're going to have courage to lead this bunch. When I was going over this week, I thought, could you imagine what kind of commission that was? I mean, God said, Joshua, you're going to fill Moses' shoes. He's going to die. You're going to bring my people into this land, but they're not going to listen. They're not going to obey me. They're going to forsake my covenants. They're going to worship the gods of the Canaanites, and then I'm going to deal with them and drive them out of this land. And I thought to myself, my question would be, well, then what's the purpose? Why do you want me to bring these people in here? But you see, it can't be about us. It's about God. God promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that he would bring their descendants to this land and he would give it to them. And God is a God of his word. It's amazing to me that even though God knew what was going to happen eventually, he kept his word and he brought his people into this land of promise. They didn't understand why they were there. God later through the prophet Isaiah said to the children of Israel, you are supposed to be my witnesses that I am the only God. That's why they were there. He promised them rest. from their labors, rest from their enemies, rest from everything that they had known in Egypt, the slavery, the oppression. God promised them rest if they would obey him. And they seem to have forgot all that. They almost felt like God owed it to them. Hey, you made this promise, now you owe us this. And God is a God of his word. He's faithful to his word. And there's two things he said to Joshua, and I said that this passage to me pertains as much to the church today as it did to Israel. Number one, he said, you need to be strong and courageous. It's not easy today taking a stand for God's word, and I know that because there's a lot of churches in this country have quit doing it. They have compromised it. I told you that, you know, the Methodist articles of faith are not just picking on the Methodists, but when I was in Bible college, they stated the word of God is the inerrant, infallible word of God. By the time I got out of Bible college, they changed it to, we believe it's God's word, but it's not inerrant or infallible because men wrote it. And I would ask them, the ones who say that, how do you know you're saved then? And I've asked people, now the Bible says, wait a minute, you said that was a book of error. So don't stand on the promises of the Bible that you've been saved if you think the Bible isn't the word of God. It either is or it isn't. That's the second thing that God said to Joshua, be careful to obey my word, Joshua. Meditate on my word. Keep it in your mind. Keep it in your heart and obey it and act upon it. He said, then you're going to prosper. The church of Jesus Christ today is in so much trouble because we have forsaken the word of God. Now, I'm not saying all churches, but I'm saying a lot of the trouble that comes on the church today is because they no longer respect or fear the Word of God as the Word of God. The proof's in the pudding. We have churches conducting homosexual weddings and telling them it's okay. We agree God made you that way because we don't want to be branded as intolerant and bigoted. We want to love them in the name of the Lord. I'm going to tell you something. That's not loving the Lord. That's loving yourself above God. Because God's word says that's an abomination. That means he hates it. He did not plan that. He did not make anyone that way. And he does not condone same-sex marriages. Yeah. When the church dishonors God's word, they dishonor God. Because you cannot separate the two. His word is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And when the church takes any other stance, we're calling God a liar. You see, Joshua had to have a reason to be strong and courageous, and God based it on his word. He promised to bring them in there. He promised to defeat their enemies. And he said, now, Joshua, you need to be strong. If you remember, 40 years earlier when they got to the Jordan with Moses, he sent the spies in, and 10 of them come back and said, there's no way we can do this. Those people are giants. They have fortified cities. We can't do this. And Joshua and Caleb were the two out of the 12 that said, yes, we can. Let's go. God's going to give us the victory. Well, if you're familiar with the Old Testament, it said the people wept all night. They had a pity party. They bawled, oh, God brought us out here to die. And they made a decision. The next day, they decided they were going to stone Moses and Aaron, Joshua and Caleb, and elect new leaders and go back to Egypt. And the Bible says, and the glory of the Lord appeared. You know what that means? They dropped their rocks and left. Oh, that wasn't such a good idea. I guess we better not stone these people. And God said, every one of you from 20 years old is going back into that desert and you'll be dead in 40 years. The people cried and said, God brought us out here to kill us and our children. And God said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to kill you. You're not going into that land, but the kids you said I was going to kill, I'm going to bring them into that land. God's a God of his word. But see, that generation of Israelites acted in fear and unbelief instead of obeying God and doing what he told them to do. They could have went in and took that land. 40 years earlier. But they didn't. They disobeyed. They didn't take God at His word. They didn't believe God's word. And I'm sorry, but I see a lot of the church today in that same condition. We are so afraid of being called intolerant or bigoted. They won't like us anymore. They'll talk ugly about us. Let them talk. The world has been speaking ugly of God's people ever since the inception of the church, and they will till the Lord returns and sets things right, church. We might as well deal with that. Why are we worried about being friends with a world that hates God? Because if we want the friendship of the world, we become God's enemies. The Word says that. That's not my saying. I didn't think that up and pull that out of the air. God says that. You know, last week I talked about our choice. Church, it's time for the Church of Jesus Christ to decide which side of the fence we're going to be on. Where are we going to stand? If the Word of God is not God's inspired Word, let's throw it out and write our own book. Other people have done it. Joseph Smith did it. Charles Taze Russell did it. Those are two that I'm familiar with, that I've dealt with. They wrote their own books. They said the Word of God isn't enough, or the Word of God can't be understood unless you read our books. And then they twist the Word of God, Peter said, to their own destruction, and sadly to the destruction of those who listened to them. So God gave Joshua two charges. The first, He said, Joshua, you're going to have to be strong and courageous. And He said, Joshua, don't forsake My word. He said, then you will prosper. You know, they had the same enemies to face when Moses was the leader. And I think that's part of the reason God said, Joshua, you're going to have to be strong and courageous. They would face insurmountable odds in the promised land. You know, the Canaanites, when the Israelites crossed the Jordan, they didn't just say, oh, you're here. I know, we heard all about how God's going to take our land and give it to you, so we're all packed and ready to go. We're going to move in over here with our neighbors and you can have this property. They didn't do that. They fought. Just like you would fight if somebody come and tried to lay claim to your land, your property, you would fight. They were dug in. They were ready. They were well. They were going to fight for what they believed was theirs. And God said, Joshua, you're going to have to be strong and courageous. Twice I read that the Canaanite kings all got together at two different occasions and attacked Israel. And the Bible says their numbers were like the sand on the sea. How many of you know that's just God's way of saying there was a lot of them? When Joshua and Israel looked out and saw this army surrounding them, that looked insurmountable to them. What'd God say? Joshua, be strong and courageous. Now, 40 years earlier, Joshua and Caleb both told the Jews, hey, we can do this. God's with us. But God had to remind him again. Now, you need to be strong and courageous, Joshua. The time for talk was over. It's time to put up or shut up. Now you're the leader. Now we're going to go in there and we're going to take this land because God said, because I'll be with you. We forgot that in the church. God's with us. Who gave us the commission to preach the gospel? Jesus Christ. Who said He'd be with us till the very end? Jesus Christ. So who are we to back down from this world that hates God and say, well, we'll just be quiet and keep our faith to ourselves? We need to be strong, courageous, church. There is a battle going on for the souls of our young people. Mom, dad, grandpa, grandma, aunts, uncles. It's time for us to step up and speak the truth to these young people. I've heard people say, well, culture's changed. You know, brother, culture's changed. People accept things now they didn't used to accept, and we just have to learn to be accepting and go along with them. I don't know what book you're reading, but my book says, no, we don't. God said, this is right, this is wrong, this is good, this is evil, this is dark, this is light. This is sin, this is righteousness. That's all we need, church. We need the courage to stand on the Word of God and to say, I'm sorry if I offend you, but this is the truth, and you need to hear the truth, and you need to know the truth, and we need to live the Word of God like it is the truth. And this is the word that we'll be judged by. As I said, when I read that, and it's like, what kind of commission is this? It almost sounded like you're commissioning me to fail. But God wasn't. He let Joshua and Moses in on a secret. He said, this is what's going to happen, but I still want you to lead them in there because I promised to give them this land and I'm going to give it to them. He said, Joshua, you need to be very strong and very courageous. I think God was trying to get a point to Joshua. He also said, don't be dismayed. Don't be in despair. Don't give up. I'm going to tell you something. As leaders in churches, that is a very strong temptation. When we see the church going the way it's not supposed to go, it's despair. What's going on? This doesn't make sense. One of my professors in preaching lab told us, no is an answer. He said, gentlemen, very often you'll preach, you may preach your heart out, and you pray, and you want to see results, and you'll see people go in the opposite direction, and you feel like a failure, and think, I must have done something wrong. But he said, let me tell you something, no is an answer. No is a response. He said, you present the Word of God, and it's up to the people whether they're going to receive it or not. But that gets very discouraging at times. It's easy to say, am I doing something wrong, you know? Do I need to present this different? Do I need to work on my pronunciations? Do I need to work on my speaking abilities? And something I've realized over the years, all God asked for me to do is be available. It's His word, not mine. And as a minister, I feel the same commission Joshua had. Be strong and courageous. Speak the word. God's word will do what He sends it out to do. Whether you accept it or reject it, it will do what He sent it out to do. Because that's the only two choices you have with the word of God. You're either going to accept it as the word of God as it is, or you're going to reject it as the word of God. And that's your choice. When God commissioned Joshua in the pillar of the cloud at the tent of meeting, Moses pitched that tent, and God would meet with Moses there in a pillar of cloud or a pillar of fire and talk to him. And it said the Israelites would worship in their tent doors because they could see that there. And when He commissioned Joshua, after Moses died, it said, the people said to Joshua, all you have commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. And I thought if that had been me, I'd have said, are you threatening me? You know how the people obeyed Moses? I don't like this. Did you bring us out here to die? We want to go back to Egypt. I don't know, that's just the way I think when I read that, and they said, Joshua, we're going to obey you just like we did Moses. I'd have said, oh boy, you're ready. Here it comes. And understand something, Joshua didn't pick this position, God picked it for him. You know, poor old Joshua was minding his own business one day, and God said, hey, by the way, you're going to lead my people into the promised land. Oh, okay. Joshua did what God told him to do. The Battle of Jericho. Boy, God brought the walls down. And I believe Joshua thought, God's here. This is it. This isn't going to be as hard as I thought. All we did was walk around the walls and blow trumpets and shout. And God brought the walls down. And, you know, we wiped them out just like God told us to. And then they decided to go after the Amorites at a city called Ai. And one of Joshua's military leaders said, hey, we don't need the whole army. Let's just send 3,000. And it said they came out of Ai, the Amorites, and chased them like bees and killed several of the Jewish soldiers. And Joshua tore his clothes, put dirt on his head, and fell on his face before the ark, and he cried to God all night. And he said, why didn't you just leave us alone over here on the other side? Why did you bring us over here? So Joshua had a pity party. God, what's going on? You said to attack them and they gut stomped us. And I love it. God said, what are you doing on your face? There's sin in the camp. That's why you lost. Somebody lied and stole. You see, when they conquered Jericho, God told them that all the silver, all the gold, all the animals, all the spoil was to be devoted to destruction. And you know, that made them holy. He said, I want them destroyed. That's mine. And a man named Achan took some silver, gold, and a nice change of clothes and hid them in the floor of his tent, and the whole nation suffered. You know, I've heard people say, well, you know, we need to be loving and forgiving in the church, and I agree with that 100%, but let me tell you something, church. When there is known sin in the life of one of the members of the church, it doesn't bring just that one member down, it brings the whole church down. And I'm not trying to sound sanctimonious. I'm talking about known gross sin. It is the job of the elders to address that issue with that person. I'm not saying about coming down on them like ugly on an ape. I'm saying to go to them in love and say, hey, we understand this is going on. This has to stop. Or you're going to have to leave. Boy, I've been raked over the coals for having that attitude. But I'm going to tell you something. Where did I get it? From the Word of God. Because Achan had sinned. Nobody else was privy to it, but God punished the whole nation for it. God said, Joshua, there's sin in the camp. You're going to have to get rid of this, and then I'll bless you. Well, if you're familiar with the story, God had him cast lots on the tribes. The tribe of Judah was taken. He had him cast lots on the clans. And this clan was taken, and then man by man, and it finally fell to Achan. And Joshua said, give God the glory, son. What'd you do? And he said, well, I hid some silver and gold, that stuff that I was supposed to devote to destruction. And Achan and his family were all stoned. And I don't mean getting high. I mean they were killed. And then they went in there and wiped Ai out. Why? Because God has to be honored, church. His word has to be honored. He is a holy God. Now, I'm not saying that a church is going to be sinless and without faults and problems. That's not what I mean. But there is in the church today, there is an unwillingness to address sin in the membership. Known sin. I'm talking about known sin. Everybody in the church knows about it. And when the elders of the church refuse to do their job, it dishonors God. And it will bring trouble on the church. So after they honored God and did what he commanded them to, they defeated Ai. As I said, twice the Canaanite kings surrounded them. They were severely outnumbered, and God told Joshua, I got this. He said, don't worry. I'm handing this army over to you to destroy. On a side note, I've heard people over the years accuse God of being a bully, vindictive, murderous. How could he order that the death of men, women, and children? When God spoke to Abram and promised him that land, he said, you're going to have these descendants, and they're going to be evil treated in a land, not theirs, for 400 years. That was in Egypt. And God said, the iniquity of the Amorites is not full yet. You see, during this time, God was warning these Canaanite nations that they were going to be judged. But their gods were sex, money, power, war. They weren't interested in what God had to say. So God judged them for their sin. Now the church has been called today to present the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. After Joshua and Israel defeated the Canaanite kings, he built an altar on Mount Ebal. According to the law, they didn't cut it with any tools. They piled up rocks. And it said Joshua wrote all the words of the law on those stones. And then they offered God peace offerings and sacrifices, thanking him for the victory that he had given to them. And then it said, then Joshua stood up and read the whole book of the law to the congregation of Israel. Why? Because that law was what their very lives were based on, the word of God. So he did it to remind the people, this is what God wants of us. This is what God expects. It said, then he divided the tribes, half stood on Mount Gerizim and pronounced the blessings of the law. The other half stood on Mount Ebal and pronounced the curses. I appreciate what Joshua did. He didn't just give them the good side. I hear preachers today on TV, that's all they want to talk about. The blessings of God, the blessings of God. And so many of them twist and pervert it. They make you think that God is some money-grubbing grandpa that just can't get enough. God's not interested in your money. He's interested in your soul, your eternal soul that he created. And the church today is like Israel was in that day. We are called to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to people and to represent God. We are called to live in a way that shows that we believe there's only one true God. And it's not money and sex and power and war. And that song that Robin sang was very fitting. Those things are going to let you down, church. It takes courage, I believe with all my heart today, to stand on the Word of God. It takes courage. And I don't say this boasting on myself. I'm saying the church is going to have to develop that kind of courage. Some have it and some do not. The church of Jesus Christ is going to have to make a decision. Are we going to be strong and courageous? Or are we going to be weak and wimpy? Are we going to speak with boldness, or are we going to keep our mouths shut? Because if we're not willing to speak with boldness, church, we may as well just shut up. That's the way I feel. That's my opinion. I'm not going to charge you anything for that. Remember, the Lord told Joshua that his success would depend upon being careful to do all according to the law. Now, we're not under the law anymore. Thank God. We're under God's grace and mercy. But that doesn't take away our responsibility to be people of the Word. That is our guidelines. Why do you think that the Word of God is under such attack today? Because Satan knows the power of the Word. He knows that the power of God's Word, if received by faith, has the power to change lives, to change hearts. All this stuff going on in the world today, I was sent a message today about Indonesia, and Teenies asked that we'd be praying for them and for her family. There's a lot of unrest there over the corruption and the vice in the government, and it's became violent. One person's been killed, and we don't realize that there is a God behind that. His name is Satan. He's called the God of this world. Church, do you know we're in a battle? We are in a war. Jesus defeated them openly on the cross, and he has went to prepare a place for his people, and he said, now you occupy till I come. Because the fight's not over. The war's been won, but the fight's not over. Don't let some jack-jawed Jake tell you that the Bible is errant and fallible. You need to be convinced that the Bible is the Word of God and that that's the guideline that you're going to follow. And people will call that intolerant and bigoted. And when people call me that, I say thank you. Because you'd call Jesus the same thing if he was here today. You'd call the Apostle Paul the same thing. You'd call Peter the same thing. So I must be in good company. Be strong and courageous. That message is just as real and pertinent for the church today as it was for the people of Israel. Moses laid hands on Joshua before he died. They said Joshua was filled with the spirit of wisdom. We have the Holy Spirit. Those of us who have come to Christ, who have been baptized into Christ, the Bible says we have the Holy Spirit. We have no excuse. We've received a spirit of wisdom and power and strength. We just need to let Him lead. I'm not talking about going out and knocking on doors and getting in people's faces. But I'm talking about standing up and defending the Word of God when the time comes. I'm talking about standing up and speaking the truth in this world that's so full of darkness, they wouldn't know truth if it bit them on the nose. We need to be people of the truth. We need to be people of the Word. We need to be people who follow Jesus Christ with our whole heart. Do it in love. But be strong and courageous. That's what the church is being called to do today. Would you stand with me this morning? This isn't an easy call. And I didn't read anywhere. I read the whole book of Joshua this week. And I never read one sentence where God said, "Hey, it's a breeze, Joshua. Be strong and courageous. There won't be a bit of problem." He met a lot of resistance from the Canaanites and even from his own people. But God, what God say? "You be strong and courageous, Joshua. I'll take care of the other stuff." It's our call, church. In these dark times, we need to be light. That's what we're commanded to be, haven't we? Didn't Jesus tell us that we're the light of the world? Yeah. It's about time we get our lights out from under the bushel baskets and let them shine to the people around us.